Jenna, choir, musicians all. Between the sacred reading and that last song, I really don't have anything to say today. I mean, that really captures it all. Jenna does a magnificent job of supporting the message with the song she selects, and I just can't thank her enough. Thank you. Peace and blessings to you all. Paz and bendiciones y todo. The theme for the month of September is service. And as I sat with that in light of this week, what came to me was that old song, He's Not Heavy, He's My Brother. I researched a little bit where that came from and what it is. I knew that it is an inscription in front of Boys Town in Nebraska. That's a home for boys. And it's really powerful because it has a young boy carrying another young boy, and beneath it, it says, he's not heavy, he's my brother. And I know that from the military traditions of never leaving a fallen soldier behind, that, you know, he's not heavy, he's my brother. But it carries a message of caring for our fellow man. And that's what really touched my heart. But as I looked at it, where it supposedly came from was a book called The Parables of Jesus. Well, I didn't remember that particular parable or how it fit. So there are like five different books called The Parables of Jesus by different authors. And I never did find where that, you know, came from. He's not heavy, he's my brother. But what I did find, I think, was the meaning behind that, and that did come from the book of Matthew when it said, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the second great commandment. He says, first is to love God, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So today I have three major points. The first is that service to others is a part of the teachings of nearly all religions. Secondly, service to others is an expression of our love. And thirdly, there are many ways to be of service. First of all, service to others is a part of the teachings of nearly all religions. We start with the Abrahamic tradition, Judaism. This comes from the Talmud. All men are responsible for one another. Within Christianity, once again we go to Matthew, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And within Islam, the base word for Islam is salam, which means peace. And one of the five pillars of Islam is to give to the needy and the poor. We, you know, in our honoring of all traditions, I think for Islam we say submission to the will of Allah. But if we looked at it in the kind of the same way we did when we looked at Buddhism, when we looked at the Four Noble Truths, if we looked at the five pillars of Islam, we would see that one of those is service to the poor. All good Muslims at the end of each year are expected to give away everything that they have to the needy and the poor. And then within our own teachings, within the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes said, the Science of Mind is an intensely practical because it teaches us how to use our mind principle for definite purposes, such as helping those who are sick, impoverished, or unhappy. So it's a part of all of these types of traditions, and I added these up. You know what, I left off two of them? I didn't do the Chinese religions because I was looking for the head count here. Confucianism. This comes from the Analects. The man of perfect virtue seeks to establish others. And in the translation, that establish means to help others. And from the Taoism, the sage does not accumulate for himself. So of those religions, that covers over 5 billion people of the 7.2 billion people on the planet subscribe to this idea that being of service to others is important. And the key to that is that when we give it away, when we participate and we give willingly, we are the ones that benefit. Point number two, service to others is an expression of love. Tennessee, young mother, had an autistic son who was growing and getting bigger, and he was extremely agitated one day, and she could not control him. And I saw the picture, and the young man looked like he was probably approaching 200 pounds and not chubby at all. He was 200 pounds of muscle, and he was extremely agitated. She didn't know what to do, so she called the county sheriff's department. They dispatched an officer, and mom knew that there was a good chance for success in this because the young man loved policemen. And she saw the police car come up. Almost immediately, her son quieted down. And she looked out and was amazed to see the officer in the driveway, down on the ground, doing push-ups with her son. And he was moved in that moment. He knew enough about autism to know that if he could get the son engaged, he could dissipate some of that energy into something more constructive, and he was able to calm the young man down. And that is the type of giving that I'm talking about. That is the giving of love. He knew enough to engage the boy and get him to doing push-ups. So the next question that pops up for me is, what do I have to give and how do I discover that? And I think that it's important that we listen to the still small voice. The practice of meditation that we all subscribe to in this philosophy and we advocate as a spiritual practice can be powerful because it's out of that silence that we can learn so much about ourselves. It is from the still small voice. It's from the silence where we can find answers to questions like, how may I be of service? A way that many of us got engaged, we took the Clifton Strengths Finder, and I've talked about it before. That tool was so powerful to me. When I read the different descriptions of the various strengths and whatnot, I was shocked that for communication, I was like 19 out of 34. And if you look at the qualities that go into somebody that, you know, has a strength in communication, they like to tell stories, I thought it described me to a T, but it really wasn't. This is hard for me. Getting up here in front of all of you is really hard for me. But what comes easy for me is a developer. So as our new leadership board came together and we're getting new practitioners, we're come together as groups, what's really easy for me is putting together a team, is putting together a group. I don't even need to work at it. It just, everything falls into place. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but it's easy. It's something that's easy. And we all have things that are easy for us. We all have things that just aren't hard. And other people go, wow, how did you do that? And it's our God-given strengths. Everybody has them. And it's not that some are better than others. It's not that at all. It's not a quantitative thing. It's just a simple thing that we all have gifts. That divine current, however you choose to identify it or what it is, if you call it God, Spirit, the thing itself, doesn't make any difference what name we attach to it, but it's expressing through and as us. And as such, we all have these gifts. And when you find something that you do easily, that's fun for you, that is a strength. And it is from that strength you can give it away and it can never be depleted. It's not like there is a finite amount of love. Does anybody in here have children? Oh, look, a lot of people have children. How many people have more than one? Oh, look, a lot of people have more than one. Well, when you had the second one, did you take the amount of love that you had for the first one and chop it in half and leave one for the first one and give half? Of course not. Your love expanded by two. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Is you give it away, it can never be depleted. Came to me yesterday, too. I just got the strongest urge. Ann is in the lower 48 helping her mother, and so I'm batching for a while, and Saturday morning, I really don't, I need to work on the sermon, I shouldn't be. And yet, I could not resist the temptation to come down for centering prayer. If you get an opportunity to participate in centering prayer, it's the first and third Saturdays, I think 10 to noon, I would highly, highly recommend centering prayer. You don't have to be a sage, you don't have to, sit here in robes or a loincloth with, you know, it's not like that, but it is a powerful, powerful experience. And within that, you can find your strengths. And then lastly, I would advise you to listen to your body. I think that our bodies have more wisdom, more knowledge than we ever give them credit for. What I like to do is take an idea or a thought. For example, if I have a decision to make, and you know, it's like Yogi Berra said, you know, if there's a fork in the road, take it. You know, I take each of the possible ways and just, how does it feel? And I start with my feet. How does it feel? My ankles, knees, you know, hips, stomach. How does it feel in my heart? And lastly, how does it feel in my head? Not so much my brain or my thinking side, but the third eye. And finally, my crown. How does it feel? And oftentimes, by the time I finish with that, I'll have an answer. I had a decision that I had to make earlier this week, and it was not a fun one. It was one of those really tough ones. And I started at my feet, and my right piggy on my right foot started hurting. It was like I had a cramp in my foot. And I knew that was the wrong way to go. Point three, there are many ways to be of service. And I'm going to go back to Chris Michaels and the sacred reading. I thought this was just powerful. Take what you've got and give it to someone who needs it. You have love to give. You have encouragement and wisdom to give. You have kindness and compassion. You can give a listening ear or an open heart. You can give forgiveness and acceptance. If everyone would give something good each day, we could transform the world. And that's absolutely true. And I'm inviting you to step forth and give it away. Last week I talked about how the Leadership Council gave up a work day. They took days of vacation, they did whatever it was, to attend this retreat, this off-site retreat that I came up with. That developer within me came up. And I want to go back to that. And I really want to emphasize that the people that step forth in service as your leadership council are not something up here. This is not a body that is separate from this congregation. It's a body of these congregants. It's a group of people that have benefited from this philosophy and are committed to giving back. They're stepping forth in service to you. And that's why they do this. It's the same with our practitioners. You don't become a practitioner overnight. It takes years. It takes a minimum of 2 to 3 years to take the prerequisite classes, and then it takes another 2 years of practitioner training to go through to become a licensed practitioner. So our three new practitioners, I mean, I just honor them so much for what they're doing, but they're not doing it to be enlightened or to be above or different than anybody here. They're doing it to give back. They're doing it so that they can be of service to you, so that they can bring those talents, those gifts, whether they found them in the Clifton Strengths Finder or they found them in centering prayer, or one day they just woke up and said, hell, I can do that. But they're here to give it to you. So honor our practitioners because they're here giving it away. On the Camino, I've shared with you that my back went out and Ann got shin splints. Today I'm going to talk about Anne's shin splints and her Camino angel. We got this at the same time, and we're hobbling down the Camino. I mean, it was bad. I was just barely going, and Anne was limping. I mean, she had a knot. It wasn't as big as your fist, but it was bigger than a golf ball right in the front of her right leg. And, I mean, it was so sore. She hurt so badly. And we were plodding down the Camino, and a lady came by me, and she said good morning, and buen camino, and off she went. She got to Anne. It was a beautiful day, and we were following a little stream, and she caught up to Anne in kind of an area. There's a little grassy area, and she looked over at Anne, and she said, "Oh, dear, what's wrong?" And Anne said, "Oh, I've got shin splints." And she said, "Oh, I can help. Stop right here. Sit down." And Anne sat down on the grass, took off her pack. This little stream's going by. And this lady, her name was Jamie. She's from Reno, Nevada. And Jamie took off her pack and she took out a roll of kinesthetic tape. I'd never heard of it. And she said, "I have just enough left to help you." And she gave Anne her remaining supply of kinesthetic tape. And she said, "Pull up your pants there," and she showed her how to apply it. You stretch it, and then you come back to 80%, and then you stick it on and you smooth it out. And just as she worked and smoothed it out, that big knot started going down, and she smoothed, and then she anchors it on each end. And then she had three more pieces, and she put them across the other way, and she applied this kinesthetic tape, and she showed Anne how to do it. And like a good Camino angel, she was done, and she got up and smiled, and Anne thanked her, and that was it, and off she went. And Anne got up and started to walk, and she said, "Oh, my God, Don, it's better. It's better already." And Anne was completely healed in 2 days. By the second day, Anne had no pain at all. So a few days later, we were passed by a group of Spaniards. And I love the Spanish people. I absolutely do. And they're vibrant and enthusiastic about life. And they just love life. And this group, they were really an eclectic group. One gentleman had on a purple shirt and a pink tie in his hair in a big spike, and they were all walking together. You could hear them a half a mile away. I mean, talking, and we came, they initially passed us, and then we came upon them, and they were all stopped. They were all, they were all worried and everything, and one of their members had shin splints. So by then, we had stopped. And we had our own supply of kinesthetic tape. Guess what Anne did? And then just a few days later, it happened again. We ran into Karen from Arizona. And not everybody on the Camino, by the way, is Americans or speaks English. It's a very, very small number. But you do tend to flock together. You kind of run into the people you can speak with, and that's why she ran into Karen from Arizona, and Karen had those too, and much to my embarrassment, somebody took my picture while I was at the foot of the Cruce de Ferro and plastered it all over Facebook and everything else, but we ran into Karen again a second time there, but Anne once again gave her the kinesthetic tape, and that miracle was repeated. So it's the little things. It's giving somebody the kinesthetic tape. It's doing that little thing that can make somebody else's life, their experience here on earth, a little bit better. And we can do that right here, and this is why we stepped out in the World Day of Service, and why we did it, the whole thing with the fish. Now, Who can tell us what our mission statement is? Does anybody know our mission statement? To teach spiritual transformation with grace and joy. Is our mission statement to feed the poor? No. But that doesn't mean that we can't support someone else whose stated mission is to feed the poor. And that is fish. That's what their goal in life is to help the people that have fallen into that crevasse in the time when they don't have public assistance for food. What are you going to do? Sometimes it can be as long as 2 weeks. I could use a diet, but I can't go without food for 2 weeks. And fish helps those people, and there are a lot. They go through over 100 boxes of mac and cheese a week. They go over 60 cans of canned fruit a week. Peanut butter, bread. Bread's not so good for us to give because, you know, it's going to mold. It's not going to stay good. But those are the things that they really need the most. And they get help with things. So the people that write checks, that can buy the bread. That can do the things that they need. But we can step forth in that little bit of service. No, you don't have to, you know, give enough mac and cheese to give your paycheck next week, but we can all spare a little bit. And when we step forth in that and we do give a little bit, is when we benefit, when we prosper. You can either bring food here all the way up through next Saturday. I'm here most of the time. Call to make sure I'm here. You can drop it off today, or you can give dollars. Unity, World Day of Prayer. It's another way that we can step forth. When I wrote this down, I started, you know, I thought, well, that really isn't the same as helping somebody with food and things like that. It's just prayer. But then Brother Kaleem reminded me that is the ultimate act of service, is to pray for someone else, to pray for them. And we can all do that. And I would invite you to join us on the 8th. I believe that's Thursday night. It's going to be a Taze type service like we used to do here. It's quiet. It's sacred readings interspersed with chants and simple things and quiet time. There will be a time for us to do a prayer, and we'll all chant or sing, whatever it is. Mine's a chant. Your prayer is my prayer too. Very similar to what we used to do here, except it's going to be over at Unity. And I would love to see people from our center support that effort in prayer. And that's another way that we can be of service. It's on 68th Avenue, down at the end toward the highway. So if you're going to go down Old Seward and go toward the mountains on 68th, when you get to the frontage road, it's that little Quest Business Park. Yes, on this side of the New Seward. Yeah. I don't know if this was really true or not, but I heard of three of my colleagues who were attempting to be of service to one another. They had gone out for a fishing expedition, and they were all three on a boat out in the middle of this lake and fishing, and they'd been out there for several hours without much luck, and it was getting kind of boring sitting there. And one of them got the bright idea that, as ministers, we really don't get an opportunity to let our hair down. You know, you're kind of put up there and on a pedestal, and you can't really show your faults. And the three of them out on this boat out in the middle of a big lake, there wasn't anybody around, one of them brought up the idea, we all have feet of clay, and I think it's what we should do is share our greatest faults with one another, and then we can pray for each other. The others thought that was kind of a good thing, a way to be of service, and we're going to pray for one another. So they sat there for a while, and finally one of the ministers says, well, I'll go first, and I'm really ashamed of this, but my problem is gambling. Two or three nights a week, I sneak out, and I go down to one of these after-hours places, and I gamble away my paycheck. And the other two ministers were quiet, and they sat for a while in prayer, and quiet. And finally, the second one says, well, I'm ashamed of this as well, he says, but my greatest sin is I cheat. I cheat on everything. I can't even do the crossword puzzle without looking. He said, and I've cheated on my taxes for so long. He says, I haven't paid taxes in over 10 years, and I lie about my income, and I cheat. And they sat in silence on the boat, and they prayed for him for a while, and then the two of them looked over at the third guy, and he just shook his head, and he said, no, you can't get off like that. We've just bared our souls to you. We expect you to. Just, no, I don't think so. Yeah, we're not leaving this lake. We're not getting off this boat till you fess up. Oh, well, my greatest sin is I gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. So the takeaway, the thing that I want everyone to remember from today's talk is that we all have something to give. And when you give that away, you are the one that benefits. And so it is with that awareness of our own inherent divinity, of that spark that is within each and every one of us. We enter into prayer, and I simply recognize the power and the presence of God within myself and within each and every one of us in this room, within each and every person on this planet. I absolutely can see the God within everyone at this moment, even our presidential candidates, knowing that each of us has a gift. Each of us has something special. And so I speak my word now for those people who are experiencing the effect of lack and limitation, that there is not enough. We dispel this idea that we have to go out and elbow somebody out of the way in order to be first in the Krispy Kreme line. We know that the Krispy Kremes of life are there for all of us. We know that there are enough Krispy Kremes for all. I speak my word for each and every person who is experiencing the very real effect, the challenge of health. Whether it be cancer, whether it be depression, whether it be alcohol, whatever that is, we know that these conditions are only that, conditions. And as such, they are temporary, and that the truth is, the permanent truth is that we are made whole at this and in every moment by whatever God, spirit, divine thing that you believe in, this higher power, whatever it is constantly pushing and moving to make us whole. And it is that truth that I embrace for those who are experiencing disease. And lastly, I speak my word for anyone who is experiencing relationship issues, whether they be family relationships, work relationships, it makes no difference. Marital relationships, romantic relationships. These are all effects. These are all temporary. The truth is, capital T, truth is, we are all individualized expressions of God. And as such, we have love at our very core. We are beings of love no matter what. And if we just get our bloated nothingness out of the way and allow that God's love to flow through us, we are assured of having that fulfilling part of our lives. We cannot gain fulfillment outside. It can only come from within. Connection can only come from within. Love begins in our own hearts. And so I just give thanks now. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God in all people, in all situations. I give thanks for my awareness of the abundant universe in which we live, the divine perfection that is within each and every one of us, and the love of God that is in our hearts. I claim these for each and every person. And it is that claim I release to the working of a law which cannot be denied, a law which must respond. I let it go, I let it be, and so it is.